This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll get you some around the NBA here in just a second, but more highlights here coming in on Cowboys Twitter from Jerry Jones holding court on his bus. Brian Broaddus had the great quote from him last segment where he compared Dak to Stephen Jones, just saying he considers him a piece of the family at this point and they will move forward as such. They're inextricable. He can't separate Dak and the Cowboys just as you can't separate Stephen Jones. Mike Bassick was fond of saying for the last decade that Jason Garrett operated as Jerry's son, and now Dak Prescott will. So,
if that means you're going to sign the deal, great, go ahead. Because you're about to lose a tag, I bet.
Yeah.
So it would sure help to get that deal done quickly.
I wonder how it goes towards the end of the second contract. That's the window, right? That's where you, see quarterbacks that once the team is built different than their first 5 years, could maybe shake free like, I guess, Joe Flacco was the last one to do it. You know, it'll be interesting because if the team goes and builds on defense, if Dak doesn't have a great supporting cast, will Jerry consider him a son-like figure in 5 years from now?
See, that's what I worry about because I've had this discussion with you guys. You guys have educated me a lot. You really have. But I've also said he needs people around him, you know? I've seen some really good things, the eyeball test. I talked about it yesterday. But I also believe that, man, give me as many of those receivers. I know Jeff's trying to talk about the 40 burgers and
Let's
stuff
like
that.
Let's go with the 40 burgers.
Yeah, give me those weapons. Give me those guys. If that helps Dak Prescott, I'm all for it.
The best part about his second contract is when he gets to the end of it, no one will have changed their mind from where they are on Dak, I promise.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes.
Oh, yeah. We're way too dug in now.
Like, by the end, it wasn't a given to people that Tony Romo had a good career. So Dak will be the exact same way. Yeah. We'll get there. And if you don't like Dak right now, you still won't. And you'll be like, he was terrible the whole way. Waste of time.
Man, can they just win the Super Bowl? You know? And then he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Dak will be a Hall of Famer if he gets the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The numbers he's going to put up, it could be an incredible ride. But, you know, Jerry would talk about that with Jason, where if he could have just gotten a Super Bowl, then everything he did would have been perceived differently. And, I don't know if people had gotten so dug in being anti-Jason Garrett. Maybe they wouldn't. You know, Mike McCarthy did win a Super Bowl, but eventually in Green Bay, the shine on that wore off a little bit, didn't it?
Sure did.
Let's go to the account of John Machota. Jerry wants Jason Witten back. That's another thing he said.
Ah!
I would hope that he would not ever be anything but a Cowboy, says Jerry.
That's why I shoved him into the booth.
I do think he can play. I think he can make a real contribution for the Cowboys. How influential is that? Is that quote right there when it comes to the decision the Cowboys come to?
I think it's obviously he could sign him by himself if he wants to. And if he's really motivated to not have Witten wear another jersey, then he can certainly make that happen. If it does, I just hope that now that you have a new head coach and a new coaching staff that they're not as enamored with, it's Gold Jacket Witt. Got to get him out there. Play the best player.
Now,
that's not Jason Witten. So if he plays some, cool.
That'd be great. That'd be perfect, I think. Everybody wins.
This is the Stephen Jones needs to walk into his dad's office and say, hey, saw what you said about Witt. You know, we're moving on there. We're moving on. We got tight ends. You know, the draft's got some ties. Heck, a kid from Missouri just ran 4.49 the other day.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Jerry can fantasize about having Witten around forever. Reality is he doesn't need to be on this team anymore.
Steven carries a hammer like that?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. I would like to imagine Jerry looking up and going, over my dead body.
Yeah.
And then Jerry standing up and whooping Steven one last time.
I don't know if Jerry could whoop Steven.
No, he couldn't.
I don't know if he... Yeah,
I'd like to imagine it, though.
You know what? The rage of Witten disrespect from Steven might get Jerry to be able to whoop him one time.
I think that Jerry admitted he's playing the 16th hole right now.
Okay, that was dark. He was like, yeah, this is my last contract. Yeah. Like, when this CBA's up, I'm out of here.
And besides, he's clearly on the 17th, Brian. I'm playing.
Is he putting out or is he playing for the fairway? Where are we at?
And it's a par three, so he'll be moving on to 18 pretty quick here. No.
Jerry's going to have a heck of a time in the 19th hole.
John Machota continued. Jerry was asked about the Cowboys' biggest roster needs. He said in regards to the draft, their goal is the very best player that is sitting there. They know what time it is with this roster. You need an influx of talent. And then once you get that influx of talent, you can decide where they're going to play. But you are not in a position to be picky right now. Good players making less than $1 million, please.
And it's probably a lesson learned that every team should have learned a long time ago. Listen, are you always going to take the best available player? No. Because the best available player
within need
might play a position that you don't need him. But, man, if you've got 8 or 10 guys in front of the guy that you pick, you've got to look at yourself and be like, is this smart? Because we're going to turn around 3 years from now, and these guys that we got hired are going to be playing in Pro Bowls, and I'm intentionally picking the 11th best player here. That doesn't make any sense.
That's why you stack your board, though. You got to be true to yourself. Fish was trying to draw me off sides. But you really do have to stack your board. You don't window dress it. He's right about that.
All right. And then the final quote from Jerry here on meeting with Dak's agent yesterday. Don't make anything of that one way or the other. So no bearing on the contracts. That's about it. Or did you guys see any other meaningful, interesting things that you wanted to snuggle in here real quick?
Just that he mentioned Byron Jones and said that he's not necessarily too expensive to keep, but obviously they have challenges.
Okay.
Where it's going to be really, really tough.
Okay, we'll get back to more of this probably coming up at 5:20. We'll take a look at Cowboys Twitter and a big menu of all the tweets going viral from Jerry's meeting with the media on the bus and more. You guys miss being on that bus, having Jerry grab you a Miller Lite?
That would be nice. It was one of the highlights of my life, walking off that bus, holding on to where the empty can was in the little six-pack with 5 more beers hanging on it, and Will McClay and Steven coming to the bus and be like, what in the hell are y'all doing on there? And I was just like, he made me take the six-pack. I don't know.
That's great.
And now I'm walking back into the dome, and I don't know how to get it past security. It was weird. I don't remember what I did either. I think
you shotgun a couple?
Yes, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Hellman, take this one, and you take this one, and this one. And it was like, I'm not bringing a six-pack into the dome. I don't think they'll let me.
Must have been a nice afternoon, though.
It was a great afternoon.
Okay, more of that coming up at 5:20. Around the NBA time here in the G-Bag Nation, the Stars are very good, and for this year, they have the greatest chance to win a championship for DFW. I think that's going to change next year. I actually want to take your feedback on that if you want to chime in on text or Twitter, and maybe we'll read some of the best responses coming up in the 5 o'clock segment. Maybe even look for some of your phone calls in the 5 o'clock segment. That's how big of a storyline I think we are watching develop right now in real time. Look, it's a Cowboys town. The combine's going on, free agency in the draft. Your quarterback's under contract, and Jerry's talking on the bus. But let me tell you something. If this story was transpiring right now in Los Angeles or New York or Chicago or Miami, big NBA hubs, that this thing would be booming and the fan base would be whooped into a massive frenzy. And I know MFFLs, you guys are just beside yourself right now, ecstatic, almost pinching yourself. Like, is this real? And, you know, DFW sports fan at large, they have all sorts of different priorities. But I'm with you guys right now. I do think this is almost unbelievable how awesome of a job the front office has done, and what we can look forward to happening now over the next decade is almost too good to be true. If you don't agree right now, just go skim over this piece with Saad Youssef in The Athletic. He talks with Legends head coach George Galanopoulos, and they're essentially what they're doing. They're using the threat of Porzingis off the ball to either shoot or run into the lane to complete to create havoc, and now the defenses are looking at it going like, okay, this is unfair. It's like the Joe Montana offenses of the 80s and early 90s, where it's like you can't have that line with Joe Montana, Roger Craig, and Jerry Rice. That's just stupid. And you know, to have a coach like Bill Walsh, I'm going to go ahead and compare it to that. We're going to be looking at a historic offense. The Mavs are going to take the baton from the Warriors and lead the three-point revolution.
Oh,
Rick Carlisle's drawn this stuff up. They're going to body slam the league here. I'm predicting multiple championships here over the next decade, and the possibility of it begins next season.
Yeah, I think last night was just a continuation of ever since Luka got hurt and KP got to sort of step up and find his rhythm, that now they're in such a groove that even though they almost threw the game away last night, as they love to do in the fourth quarter, just even in the box score, KP 28-12, Luka 26-14-10. This is what you want, where Porzingis becomes a guy that's more than 25 a game, and Luka becomes a guy that's less than 30 a game, and you're making Porzingis a big part of the offense, and he's pulling bigs out of the paint to open up the lane, and he's drifting into the corner to create more space, or they're running to the rim together for an alley-oop.
Yeah.
It's a really educational piece.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it, having a coach there that's kind of breaking down as you're watching it, because it's like, I'm not that smart about basketball. Like, you watch all the games, but then when you have it broken down like that, it's like, holy cow, a lot goes into that guy's setting a pick. It's right, but there's a lot happening.
Yeah, very, very simple actions on the court, you know, set up all kinds of stuff. And I think it does start with Luka being unstoppable one-on-one, right? Because you're creating these situations where the defense has to go to Porzingis, leaving Doncic alone. You can't trap him. You definitely can't defend him. You can't back off of him. And he's the greatest point guard in the game right now, you know, maybe second only to LeBron James. Yeah. But as far as having an ability to find teammates and you're leaving him one-on-one, yeah, Saad does a great job. And I think one of my other takeaways from reading the piece was, I don't want any players that can't shoot threes. This is such a massive advantage. I'm sorry, Andre Drummond, Hassan Whiteside fans, if you want the math, they got to shoot 1,000 threes a day in the summer and then show up proving that they can, you know, pass our shooting restrictions because of the massive advantages that it creates. You know, just sending any player into that middle, making that defense collapse, there has to be at least one guy open. And Luka, with that hook shot pass that he does deep into the corner, there's only a couple players in the entire game that can do that. So
he's silly.
The Mavs are going to create plays and create trends that other teams are going to try to copy. I don't think you can copy it very easily. Maybe LeBron can if they can find an amazing perimeter three-point shooter, an Anthony Davis version of a three-point shooter. And maybe the Bucks could, but Giannis isn't that kind of a passer or three-point shooter from the outside. So, you know, what I guess what I'm talking about is right now the Mavs have this advantage with a scheme, a coach, a superstar point guard, and a superstar finisher. That's what's fallen into place these last five games. Porzingis alongside Doncic has proven he's a superstar finisher.
Does it work more because of Luka or because of KP's athletic ability?
It's a combo platter. You're
I'm totally with you, General, on everything you're saying, because I'm liking the enthusiasm. Cool. I really am.
I'm pumped, man.
But
thank
I am.
You for letting
I, that,
me roll.
That pass. Cool. The spacing, the lane, the way Jeff is describing how things open up for you. There's so many. You got guys attacking the basket. But I wonder if could Luka, does it matter? Does it have to be a guy like KP, a big that can go to the basket, that can
it really
pull
helps.
The defense out?
It really, really, really helps because of his ability to set picks on and off the ball.
Yeah.
And then crash. It opens up so many different things. And that's what we were saying earlier when Powell got hurt.
Yeah.
Porzingis is now setting more picks.
Right.
And the fall. See, the thing is, with Luka and Porzingis playing that old style, they still had the best offense in the NBA.
Right.
So they're thinking, it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, let's go make a project of that in the summer. But then Luka gets hurt, Porzingis has to do that. They're like, dude, he shook off all the rust. And now that they know he can do that, right, because Luka makes them a 52-53 win team, now this development puts them in, hey, guys, if we just get a couple of people that can defend on the perimeter on the other side, we're ready to go take this championship now.
Yeah.
You go from playoff team, I think, to legit championship contender in one off season because of this Porzingis development.
I think it's impressive, though. It's hard to defend that driving kick, though. I mean, you get guys attacking the ball, the basket, and then all of a sudden kick the ball. That's hard. It's a hard thing to deal with.
And I think clearly Luka is the most important piece, but it would be really hard to be this good if the guy that is your great shooter wasn't also over 7 feet tall.
See,
because that's kind of it, right? Depending where he gets it, he's now so comfortable if he's down low getting the ball to just turn and shoot. He's being aggressive with it. And the big is going to have to be the guy guarding him. So your big is going to be 20 feet from the hoop, whatever I want him to be. And so, like, it's so important. But if you're picking who's most important, it's probably the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
And he's not yet, but he will be very soon. But
both very hard to replace.
Did you like what you saw with Powell and Luka, though? Did it give you anything that you're like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah, that's
good. I mean, you're okay with that, but it's at a whole nother level now.
Yeah, I think that goes to what Bassick was saying all year, and I agreed with it. Guys like Powell and Kleba, they're really nice, smart players. You want them on your
team.
Not going
to win a championship with those guys, right?
If you're bringing Powell off the bench to spell Porzingis or another big for a little bit, and he's doing that kind of stuff in a reserve role, then you really have an outstanding roster. Galanopoulos, the Texas Legends coach, also gave us good detail, though, on the post-up. And remember how a couple of weeks ago there was the big storyline how post-ups were bad, and of course we're not posting up Porzingis.
Yeah, Rick in December was talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, Kenny the Jet was saying you need to post up. Well, and Rick said, well, it's not a winning a shot for anybody. Well, the Texas Legends coach, Galanopoulos, said, yes, it's not a good shot. But if you put a player down there and just reverse the point of the play, instead of looking at the basket and creating, we're putting a guy in the post looking for three-point shooters. He's not trying to shake you and do a jump hook. He ain't trying to do an up and under. That's bad efficiency. We're just giving him a different perspective on finding the open three-point shooter.
Yeah, or cutters.
Yeah, or
there's
cutters,
another
yes.
thing. Yeah, cutters was a thing that was really big. If you get to the three-point shooter, but if they collapse on that, then hit the cutter.
It's a thing of beauty to watch, and it's exciting, you know, because in the NFL and other sports, maybe we watch teams that represent DFW, and we're like, man, we're behind the curve. We're behind the curve. Why can't we have an innovative coach? Why don't we have John Harbaugh consulting analytics on every play? Why don't we have Belichick running circles or even Andy Reid or whatever it is? I think with the NBA, we have that. And it's a beautiful thing it's a beautiful sight. It is. Okay. Where are we going? Oh, it's draft time. Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. Where are we going with that?
Translating what all these people are saying at the combine and what they actually mean. What's next?
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. Segment's brought to you by Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Here he is, Jeff Kavanaugh with Brian Broaddus.
The tight end times are official at the combine. If you want to know how fast these tight ends can run in their undies, Albert O. from Missouri ran a 4.49. Nobody else was very fast. So good for him. Bryson Hopkins, Purdue, 4.66. Steven Sullivan, LSU's other tight end, 4.66. Dropped almost every pass in the gauntlet, though. Notre Dame's Cole Kmet, 4.7. Okay, and we move along. Let's get these receivers running. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Let's get down to the receivers run. Let's get to the R's where Rager and Ruggs will run. And let's have ourselves a
party. That's happening this evening, right?
I believe so.
Next.
Now, I was looking through this article by Jason LaConfora on CBS Sports.
He'll join us tomorrow at 4, by the way, Jeff.
How about that?
Very timely of you.
There it is. Look at that. And what he did was he looked through a lot of the quotes of GMs or players at the NFL Combine and put them through the translator of what do they really mean. Which, Brian, you had to become an expert of that, right? You listen to people talk at the Combine.
And I did all the time.
You compute it, and you're like, oh, he hates that guy. Yeah. Holy cow, he hates him.
You know me too well, Jeffrey.
Raiders GM Mike Mayock, when he was talking about Derek Carr, the actual quote, Derek played at a high level last season. Very happy with Derek. But as I've said before, we'll evaluate every position on our roster. And if there's a chance to upgrade, we'll look into that. Translation? Diddle-loo, diddle-loo, diddle-loo. We heard Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent, is going to be landing somewhere Wednesday afternoon in Indy. We're going to have people staking him out at the airport. He's not going to be here that long. We got to do whatever we can to land a meeting with him. Also, don't forget about us unloading Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper a year ago to land maximum draft capital. That wasn't just for 2019. If Tua's hip checks out, we can move into a top five no problem. And we could trade Carr, even after the draft if we had to. With that contract being so team-friendly, we're moving to Vegas, baby, and we're thinking big. So,
he absolutely nailed it.
That quote was, we don't like Derek Carr at all.
Not at all.
And
not
we've
at
got
all
sorts of different options that we're looking into.
Sure did.
It sounds like Tom's flying into the combine, too. That should make some serious waves.
Oh, yeah. Is Tom going there, too?
Isn't that what they said at the beginning of
that? Well, Don Yee. That's his agent. Yee.
Yeah, his agent. So you just meet him at the airport, and you're like, yeah. Checked out the flight logs. Do you guys have, NFL teams have, like, people inside the airline industry or checking the private planes where you're like, hey, guys, Don Yee will be landing right there at 4:15.
I tell you, when I was in Green Bay, I used to have, there was a guy, the gate agents for American, that would hold the plane for us. We'd be running late. And they're like, Brian, you guys on your way? I'm like, yeah, just give us 10 minutes. Okay, we're going to hold the plane for you.
Nice.
They would hold, yeah, that's how small that airport was in Green Bay.
Did you have to give up your Whataburger for them to hold the plane? Because I've heard that happen sometimes.
No. Okay. They just were nice about it. They're Packer fans.
I was wondering how TMZ got the scoop about Kobe, right? And I figured it had to be the somebody at air traffic control. We just lost Kobe's chopper.
Yeah.
And then
TMZ gets a lot.
Yeah.
Probably because they just cut checks for news.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who knows something, you just tell TMZ and they probably won't vet it too much and they'll run with it and give you a check.
And I see him work in the airport so much, right? Like a famous person will come in and it just so happens there's a TMZ reporter waiting outside where you catch the bus at LAX.
Do they just have like 40,000 freelance people that say they're with TMZ?
That might be it too.
Trying to hit that one story.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians talking about Jameis Winston and his QB position in 2020. Quote, you don't know what trades might happen. You don't know who's behind door number two yet. Then you can make a decision. And Bucs GM Jason Light said, we feel we can win with Winston. Translation, diddle-doo, diddle-doo, diddle-doo. We should know by the end of the week what Phillip Rivers is going to cost. Yeah, no one would ever tamper, but let's be real about what's going on here this week. And Jameis needs some time to see what exactly he could fetch on the open market, too. We might not be able to do better than him, and we still have a few weeks before we need to decide on a franchise tag. Can we find another 26-year-old with the potential Jameis has? Doubtful. And starting over with the draft pick ain't in the cards. That's the translation. Accurate?
Very accurate.
Okay. Joe Burrow. Quote.
Go Tigers.
I'm not going to not play for the Bengals, if they pick me. I'm a ball player. I'm going to show up.
Can't wait for this one.
Translation.
Yeah.
Somebody rescue me! When you have to resort to double negatives to embrace barely the prospect of being the first pick and going to a team only a few hours from your home, and it takes months to reach the point where I even finally made this statement, well, come on. Draw your own conclusions. I'm not going to get in a staring contest with Mike Brown in public and go DEFCON 5 and threaten to sit out a year. That's not in my DNA. But Dolphins, Raiders, Chargers, whoever else really needs a young QB, can you see this for the SOS that it is? Make these dudes an offer they can't refuse. You think Carson Palmer doesn't talk to his brother Jordan, the guy who's training me for the draft? Do you see me doing cartwheels up here and talking about how amazing it would be to win a Super Bowl in Ohio? Yeah, me neither.
That's a great point. I think it's highly likely for Burrow that he really would not prefer to go there, but just doesn't want to be that guy. That would make total sense. That his apprehension isn't a sign that he's going to, you know, lay a hammer down and say, I ain't going. It's just that he kind of wouldn't want to.
Just trying real hard to let them understand.
Would you be fascinated if he did try and pull what Eli Manning did and Phillip Rivers, those guys?
I'd love it. That's a great story. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I
that also draft day, it's like, you pick me, I'm not going. Don't pick me.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
I want that.
I'm all for players being in charge of where they go. You know? It's kind of weird how you just get like kidnapped by a city and you're a bad guy if you say I don't want to go live there.
It's worked out for had something in my brain, but I forgot what it was.
Worked out for somebody, a team.
It works out for thousands of people every year.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
Forgot where I was going.
Got to choose to come here.
New Panthers coach Matt Rhule talking about Cam Newton at the combine. Quote, I absolutely want Cam here. There's no doubt about that. End quote. Translation. Diddle-doo. Don't forget about the part where I also set him open to any trade that I believe makes our team better. And the part where I declined to declare Newton my week one starter. And the part where I didn't rule out drafting a QB either. Basically, disregard the latest report from NFL Network about Newton's future because we don't know for sure yet. And we just got to the combine, haven't even had a chance to talk to anyone yet. And we have a driven owner who gave me a 7-year deal and isn't afraid to make bold decisions. And Cam still isn't even healthy. Stay tuned. David Tepper prying me out of Baylor shocked people a few weeks back. We aren't bound by conventional wisdom.
No, that's a mover and shaker right there. I can't wait to see what happens with Carolina. That's the team that makes the most sense, but you can't act too eager. You act too eager, and now they're sitting there at one saying, oh, yeah, you want this, right? You're doing this? You got to come play hard to get on both sides.
Hence why you say, I absolutely want Cam here.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. This is Brian's team. This is Brian's move team.
This is my team from seven that's going to come dancing up in there. Let's see if they could get to two or three.
Which quarterback would you think they'd be after? Do you think they'd try to go all the way to Burrow?
I think they're hopeful. I keep saying two or three because I'm thinking that they might – I don't know if they could wait for the second quarterback. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to get Burrow, but do they sit there and say, okay, we got to go get the second guy because we can't get past what's going on with Miami and then the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
You know,
I want Joe Burrow and Joe Brady back together.
It'd be great.
I'm trying to get Carolina to one.
I just don't, unless Cincinnati just sends off the signals that they're not going to draft him, you know, Burrow, I think two or three is where they're going to have to go.
Come on, Joe. Say what you really think. Say what's in your heart.
Yeah.
You don't want any part of Cincinnati. We know it. Just say it out loud.
Would you go up for either one of those guys? Would you go up for Tua?
They say he's healthy.
Yeah. I talked to some teams, by the way, this morning that say he's healthy.
Healthy, healthy?
Healthy, healthy.
Like all the things, the ankle,
well,
the knee.
There's some
the,
things you got to kind of rest a little bit, but we're working on it.
I'll defer to my my injury czar. Gavin's my assistant GM of injured players.
Two is off my board.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing to do with it.
No.
He gets hurt.
Yeah, he gets hurt.
Guy gets hurt.
Happened multiple times in college. I can't be like trading up for that. I mean, if he falls into my lap at 17, I'm like, oh, okay, well, now we're talking about something.
Well, I tell you what, some cowards going on here.
That's not a coward. That's a man with conviction. Yeah. He's got a strong stance on the injured player. That's why he's in my organization. I need
every,
that voice.
Every player that's hurt, we're going to have to deal. I'm going to have to deal with that now?
That depends. Depends how high we're picking him.
Yeah. Okay, what
you
is
can disagree?
What's that?
You can disagree.
That's why you're in the organization too.
Yeah, no, I'm in. I appreciate that, but I'm like, am I going to have to argue for every injured player?
Yes. Yes, because Gavin's going to fight you on the injured player.
Absolutely.
All of them.
Are you kidding me? Are you actually going to sit here and suggest that injured players should be drafted by this organization? What do we want to do? Do we want to lead the league and miss games every year?
I'm all about the player.
Injured or no?
I am all about the player.
Wow.
You don't ding him at all for hip, knee, ankle?
If my doctor tells me he's okay, I'm trusting my doctor.
Well, there's levels to okay, though, right? The doctor's going to be like, well, you know, the ankle's
the
not
doctors
great,
don't the lie. Everybody great. Else does.
Does the doctor make money every time you have a surgery with him?
Oh, man, there's a great angle. Does the doctor get paid per operation?
You know what? I don't think it's worth it as a doctor. That's a hard job, by the way.
I don't mean to disrespect.
No, I know you're not. I know what you're saying. But that's a hard job because you have coaches that or guys like me. They're like, come on, doc. Really?
Tell me he's fine.
Come
I
on,
want
Doc.
Him.
He's fine. You know
Look
he's fine. It's a minor procedure, you know.
And the doc's like, no, actually, it ended Bo Jackson's career immediately. Yeah. But this guy has blood flow, so he
and
should
listen,
be okay.
I'm traumatized. Okay, you got to remember, Trailblazers fan by birth.
Oh,
Walton, Bowie, Odin, Roy, four Hall of Famers. Okay,
how many of them actually go into the Hall?
One.
Oh, I thought everybody got in the basketball hall.
Well, Walton got one championship before his feet completely gave out on him.
And the man we're discussing, this is our final translation from Jason Lockenfort, the Combine.
Injured players. I'm going to have to fight that.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
About
met,
time.
Have you met Gavin?
Yeah.
He is not here for your injured player. Yeah. He is not here for it.
Yeah.
To a T, quote, once March 9 hits and we're cleared to go, I'll be ready to do everything, end quote. Translation? Mm-hmm. Sleep on my pro day at your own risk. Yeah, Joe Burrow had an amazing season. Go back and read all your scouting reports and projections before my injury. Remember what you thought of me and how many GMs when asked privately by people like the dude writing this column said they preferred me?
Tell them to
him. To Joe?
Tell them to him.
And now you might not have to go all the way up to first overall to get me. It's go time. John Gruden, you spend years salivating over mobile stud college QBs, come and get one. L.A., my kind of town, and as close as you can get to Hawaii in the NFL. Dolphins, better not sit around with that fifth pick thinking I'll still be there and kill that Justin Herbert smokescreen noise. That's to a T. Supposed to be cleared by March 9th, supposed to be throwing at a pro day in April, and supposed to be getting drafted real early while Gavin sits on his couch and calls that team an idiot.
Yeah.
Whoever it is that takes him.
Yeah, I guess at some point, you know, I don't want to backtrack too much. Don't need to be moonwalking over here, Lucius, so early in the day.
Lucius will play that song on you. Get ready.
Doing that a couple of times.
He will play. Played it twice yesterday.
There's significant injury history for Tua, but he always managed to stay in the games, right? No. He'd be hurt, but then he'd still be playing on Saturday. Sure, so he deserves credit for being tough.
You're not wrong. Right, you're not wrong.
Two cowards.
No.
Look at the way you both backed up.
He knows we got to go to break.
Let's part as great friends, cowards.
I looked at the clock. I didn't want to argue with you.
Let's go around the NFL coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And coming up at 5 o'clock, I'll be looking for your Mavs feedback. We've been talking about, I think they're going to be championship contenders in the 2020-21 season. Do you agree or disagree? Formulate your thoughts. We'll be hearing from you coming up at 5 o'clock. It's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Here's Jeff first now.
Dez Bryant's coming back to the Cowboys. Jerry said he wants him, thinks about it all the time.
Let's go.
Maybe. So Jerry,
he's just buddies with him.
Do what?
He's buddies with everybody.
Yeah. Jerry's on the Jerry bus, and he's talking his Jerry words to the Jerry reporters that are around him. And somebody asked him about Dez Bryant. You want to get Dez Bryant back on this thing, get the party going again, or what, Jerry? And he said, I've been thinking about it in the shower.
Okay.
That's uncomfortable. But, yeah, apparently Jerry, when he wakes up in the morning and hops in the shower, he spends a lot of time thinking about Dez Bryant back to the Cowboys. And I just I have no feel for this whatsoever. What does Mike McCarthy think? Is it even realistic that Dez can still be a decent NFL player? Is Jerry Jones interested, or is he really enjoying headlines talking about Dez and Jason Witten? I don't know, but Jerry has now acknowledged it, that something that he does think about in the shower.
Yeah, that's a weird one right there. Whatever place he's thinking about Dez, I think he's just saying it because he doesn't want to say anything negative about a guy he's got respect for and was a great player for him, you know. But I can't see it being realistic with the Cowboys. I think Dez is going to play next year. I think he's going to score touchdowns. I can't imagine them seeing how Dak and Dez got together in the first go around and want to do that again. That's not something I'd bet on, Broadus.
Yeah, I tell you what though, I think that he's going to get a workout from the Cowboys.
Sweet,
I do. I think there's going to be one of those afternoons. Maybe after the draft, you know, in between the OTAs, mini camps, stuff like that, that they're going to go over there and say, okay, Dez, we'll give you a workout. And he'll go over there and they'll throw the ball around for him and stuff like that. See where he's at physically, you know? I do. But it might be the situation where they go, okay, you know, you got to move on, that kind of thing. But I do think they're going to allow him to have a workout. I really do.
I'd like that. I think it would help legitimize his comeback. It would help him out. Do you think, let me ask this. Well, do you agree with that? Number two, has Dak evolved to be a different kind of player that you'd want to see it now with a second look? Like, do you think the same dynamics of really was less than 50% completed on attempts to Dez Bryant? That was low.
Yeah, I think it's a different quarterback now. You know, and I think that, you know, and also Dez needs to realize too where he's at in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
he's gonna have to tailor his game to be a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the lead dog in the sled anymore.
If you can be that guy, everybody would be shocked if he could still be that guy. But if he can, he's got to earn that and prove that over the course of time. Going in, it's like, okay, we're going to try to find a spot for you because we think you have magic hands.
I think you just work him out. Yeah. I think you see where he's at. You get him on the waiver wire and let people see, hey, he is working out. That's news.
Is that all from Jerry?
That's it. That's all I've seen, unless there's a follow-up still to come.
Okay.
I'm tracking the Jerry bus.
Gotcha.
And all the Jerry things.
We will give you Jerry Jones tweet highlights, short quotes coming up at 5:20 here on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. Do you want second down, Broadus?
I'll take it.
Okay,
why not?
Here
it goes. In it, you know, the NFL prospects go into the scouting combine expecting the worst. Those interviews are tough. I've sat in those interviews. You know, you try and make it difficult. You try and make these kids squirm a little bit. You ask them tough questions.
Why are you guys such jerks to these kids?
You don't be a jerk. You just want to find out how they're going to react.
Stress them.
Good cop, bad cop. You know, you get guys that kind of bully them a little bit. And then you go, oh, hey, back off. Yeah, it's cool.
Change the energy of the room.
Yeah.
Confront them.
Yeah, just see how they
react.
See if
they'll punch you.
See, you know, get in a fight with the guy, your other scouty buddy in front of them, see how they react to that, you know? But, so prospects, they go in there expecting
nice.
The worst.
Little.
But teams will go to great lengths to dig up dirt on players.
Oh, great.
Yeah, like myself, when I was in Philly, had an FBI guy.
Nice.
Had an FBI guy.
What actually, did he do?
Well, he went and spent a week tracking a player that I wanted to in the first round.
What was the player into? What was the issue?
So that's what we were trying to find out. Trey Thomas was the player.
Find out anything good?
Squeaky clean?
Oh, no. Clean report.
No booby bars? Yeah, no nothing?
Nothing. No problems. But my private investigator followed him for a week.
How much did that run you?
About 25 grand.
Holy cow! Dude, that's a good job.
Yeah.
You just follow around football players?
But yeah.
Give the thumbs up. No women or drugs. Yeah, boom.
No problem.
And you picked him, right?
Yeah, we picked him.
That's 25 grand well spent.
That's what I'm saying.
Pro bowler.
Told Mr. Lurie at the time, I said, you know, you're about to hand him a lot of money. Don't you want to know about this player? He's like, good point. So, yeah, we followed him around.
He said, all right, I got a shady guy with slick back hair that'll chase him around.
But, you know, you got to find out about these guys.
You hear rumors about guys, right? And you need to find out.
You got to. Mm-hmm. You got to. I'm about to spend a lot of money on you, Gavin. I'm going to follow you for a week.
Do teams spread misinformation that you need to track down?
I think there's – I don't know if it's misinformation. I think there's things you find out about kids. I went time again Philadelphia. I knew a lot of things about Ryan Leaf that the NFL office didn't have. And I made the mistake. I was at the NFL office and I opened my mouth. It was an idiot move. Mm. I said, well, you don't have everything on Ryan Leaf.
Uh-oh.
Security, you got all cocky.
Yeah, exactly. And the security guy goes, excuse me? And I went, oh, why'd I do that?
And you were worried about tipping other teams off?
Yeah, or? I was worried about the NFL. They have a deal where if you give the NFL office, the security people there at the NFL, names, they'll run down background checks for you.
Mm.
So I made a mistake knowing that I had more. My FBI guy was great. Butchie was great.
Was it partying and being disrespectful?
Yeah, it was just a bad, overall bad person.
Yeah, that's
really
what I heard,
bad,
too.
Really bad stuff.
My buddy was up there at Washington State at the time, and he was like, you know, Ryan Leaf might end up being a good player, but wow, what a jerk.
He was had a big fold on him, but glad to see him. He's doing his life, getting his life back.
Oh, yeah, okay, absolutely.
But we'll dig up dirt on these players. But, you know, when the teams can't find it, they resort to strange and insulting and sometimes strange dehumanizing questions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeff Ireland. What a jerk he is.
Young man, you ever tuck it when you're at the house by yourself?
Yeah.
What? That's a weird question,
right? That is a weird question.
Yeah.
But the most bizarre exchange between an NFL team and a prospect may have come Thursday when the Las Vegas Raiders informed TCU defensive lineman Ross Blacklock that he had 37 parking tickets in college. And the revelation came as news to Blacklock, who had no idea.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They told Ross, they're like, hey, what about these parking tickets? What's your problem with that? He's like, excuse me? Yeah, what about it? What about these parking tickets? I didn't know. He said, well, but don't worry. Blacklock isn't in trouble with the law. As he explained, the fines from those tickets were paid off through his stipend he received at TCU.
Oh, they just wanted to know. They just want to let him know. We know that you got parking tickets.
Yeah, we could dig a little further on you, Mr. Blacklock, if you want.
37's a lot for college. Where's he parking?
But how the heck did he not know that? You know? I mean, I can understand one, and that's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. But what if you have 36 others? How do you do that?
Somebody's taking care of them for you.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think that's one of those things, like, you're such a good player that, you know, we're not going to let you worry about this parking.
Jeff went up to speak to a class one day at UNT.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, I did.
He got a parking ticket. They cleaned it up for him, right?
They did clean that up for me. The people at UNT are great people. Yeah. Mark Fine's class, they've all got a bright future, and I'm very appreciative to all of the people at North Texas who took care of that for me.
Yeah, they did an outstanding job.
If you had unpaid parking tickets, because he's a junior. I don't know if he's graduated or not, but Ross Blacklock's a junior.
Yeah.
If you had all those parking tickets and you get drafted in the first round, you sign your contract, do you pay them or do you not worry about it?
I think you pay them. You write a check, you put your name on the side of a nutritional center or something like that. You know, you make a lot of money. The Blacklock Nutritional Center. You know, where
petty
athletes
enough.
Could eat. Yeah.
I think I'm petty enough. I'd be like, nah,
I'm
not
out.
Not gonna do it.
Okay, I say something real quick about these interviews things.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara, remember him? We all know Alvin Kamara.
Mm-hmm. Nose ring.
Good player.
Yes, a team weirded out on him because he didn't take his nose ring out one time.
Yeah. And didn't he tell him?
He told him, don't pick me. And they didn't. They missed out on a first-round guy right there.
Was that Carolina under Jerry Richardson or something?
Probably some stupid thing.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan as we're going around the NFL here. Little CBA negotiation news. There's a lot of value in here for players, and there's some really good stuff that they're picking up on. The owners were spending big on stadiums and shielding that money from the revenue stream, and it actually got worse than that. The owners had this chip called stadium credits.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they've given that up to try to get the players to yes. take the deal quickly.
Yep.
But it's kind of like a tax write-off where the owners are saying, if we spend big on stadiums and we want to have that deducted from the pool of money that we're going to share with you because that's good for everybody. So the players were like, okay. And then they built massively expensive stadiums. So they got the whole asset and got to write it off from the revenue. And then they got in the stadiums where, and when the stadium first opened, that stadium revenue would then be withheld because in theory, they needed the money to pay for the stadium that they'd built.
Oh,
even
yeah,
though they
yeah.
got to write yeah. off the entire cost. Yeah. I mean, they're like triple dipping on these stadiums
oh, yeah.
and then coming back to, even though the damn public taxpayer dollars probably, you know, paid for quite a bit of it. But I mean, they really had the NFLPA in a camel clutch on this one.
Rich people are good at getting rich.
Yes.
Yeah, they do it.
They figured it out.
Yeah, they do it pretty well.
Yeah.
They got a good handle on how to make money.
So, you know, a year before the CBA is up, the owners are coming to the table like, yep, these stadium credits are gone. Here we go. You're going to get more money here. We're raising from 47 to 48.5% over the course of 2 years. A lot of good stuff coming in for the players, and that's amongst the reasons that most people do expect this thing to be ratified here before, what, March 10th or 11th?
Well, aren't the players getting credit for the new stadium in Los Angeles? Or the Vegas one? Are they getting some type of revenue share of that? Is the owner sharing with them on that new stadium?
I don't know. That's in the transition. I would imagine if the stadium's already built, that would fall under the former CBA.
I need to do a little research on that, but I feel like that's something that the owners are looking at, that they're going to share the new stadium part of the revenue with the players on that.
They're
going to
pick up very early. Yeah. I did read that as well. They're going to pick up immediately sharing revenue on that instead of continuing to withhold it from the pool.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff coming in here. I think what the NFLPA reps that don't want it signed, what their message is, guys, this is good. We need to be greedy like the owners when we have leverage, because they're going to come back in a decade and try to use leverage against us once the dynamics have shifted in their favor. Top stories of the day. I want your Mavs feedback. Call or text. I've said already twice today the Mavs will be contenders, real championship contenders. 60-win team next year. Agree or disagree, it's next in the nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.